You're listening to DraftKings Network.
On April 26th, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. Only in theaters April 26th. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
I'm scared of alligators. They freak me out a little bit.
Who wouldn't be?
I mean, Mike apparently thinks alligators are friendlier than crocodiles, but...
Well, that's an act.
Did you guys ever play Crocodile Dentist growing up?
What is that?
Oh, my God. You haven't lived.
Oh, Jesus. Here we go.
All right. Crocodile Dentist was a game where you had this plastic crocodile, obviously not an alligator. It's called Crocodile Dentist. And you'd have to go in and remove his teeth or her teeth, right? And every once in a while, you remove the wrong tooth and it would snap on your hand. And then you'd lose Crocodile Dentist. Of all the animal games, I think Crocodile Dentist, I'd rank it definitely above... What's the one with the butterflies that it would shoot out butterflies and you have to catch it with a net? It'd rank above that, but probably below Hungry Hungry Hippos.
I think the butterfly game used to always malfunction, didn't it?
Yeah, I think it was called like Butter Fun or something like that. Let me see what this game was called. I think it would shoot out of like an elephant's snout or something, wouldn't it? The butterflies, there was like some sort of something that would kind of shoot them out.
But those mousetrap, mousetrap was pretty...
Oh, yeah, Mousetrap.
Mousetrap was great, yeah.
Yeah.
It's Twitter. Called Elephun.
Elephun.
There was Elephun. That tube. I remember it used to shoot out of the tube.
Mm-hmm. Were they butterflies, though? They were, right? What's the connection between butterflies and elephants? We should ask Ron McGill next week, I guess.
I was going to say, yeah, we got to save this for next Tuesday.
I wonder which animal-oriented game Ron McGill sees, and he's like, that is not how that animal functions.
Gotta be Hungry Hippos. Aren't those the most lethal animals in the animal kingdom?
No, but
hippos are not hungry.
Right.
Really.
But I feel like the hippo was represented well in that game. Am I wrong, Bill?
I mean, they seem slow moving. All that moves quickly is kind of like their mouth. And that also is dependent on the person who's kind of pushing the button, where I think that actual hippos move their entire bodies very quickly, right?
They're also depicted as happy and colorful and child-friendly, when in reality they are giant aquatic monsters.
That's true. I've never seen an orange hippo before.
Ditto.
So much like the gator, you're saying that the hippo has a...
Oh, wow.
I couldn't even get it out of my mouth. I couldn't even do it with a straight face.
You know which board game I hated when I was a kid?
What's that, Jessica?
Operation. I hated that game.
Why?
I love that game. Yeah, it's great.
That buzzer would just make me so mad. I just want to smash it.
That's the point.
You weren't very good at it, it sounds like.
Probably not, I guess. I hated it. I never wanted to be a doctor or a surgeon because of that game.
What's your favorite board game of all time? Mine is Life. I like that in Candyland.
No.
Yeah, Candyland.
Life was my favorite too, Stugatz. No. Look at that.
Life, poor man's Monopoly.
Exactly. I really like the I really like the dye function that Sari had. The little like globe that you would push down and it would pop it up, and then it would tell you whatever you had to do. I loved pushing that thing down.
Chutes and Ladders, very good.
Oh, that's a good.
That's
game.
So boring.
Candylands.
Candylands, great.
Did you just make it plural? You put Candylands. You made it plural. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Is life poor man's monopoly? And also put on the poll, what's the more annoying sound in the history of board games? The Operation Buzz or the Taboo Buzzer?
There are a few better board game feelings than going over one of those bridges in life. I'm telling you, like one of those bridges, you land on the bridge, Greg. I don't know what you're doing to life. I mean, that's blasphemy to me. It's my favorite game of all time.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my God. I mean, life
it's the
wants,
game of life.
It I wants mean. To be Monopoly and it isn't.
Do you guys ever roll the dice when you're playing Clue and you have two of the three and you like think someone else is close, so you got to just guess on the third one just because you're like, it's now or never for me. So no one else ever did that.
You talked about the buzzer, Dan. The Taboo buzzer was actually handheld. Yeah. So you got somebody over here using that buzzer in your ear. You just want to push them out of the way. Like, stop.
They changed it too. I think they changed it to like a little squeaker, not the buzzer. The buzzer was good. The squeaker now, like a little rubber thing. Like, man, no thanks.
I'm changing my favorite game. It was actually the Lord of the Rings trilogy trivia game. It was really? A board game I got when I was in first grade, and I loved that game.
Yeah. Wait, like Trivial Pursuit?
Woody's
yes,
not
but
here
it was all
right
Lord
now,
of the so Rings.
No one can relate to that.
Trivial Pursuit was a good game.
Wow, Guess Who is such a good game.
Guess Who was so awesome. Remember Guess Who?
No.
No.
What was your
you
first?
You remember Guess Who?
Billy, what was your first guess?
The music group.
Wearing a hat. If they're wearing a hat, get those out.
Hair. Do they have hair? Yeah.
I was really good at categories.
I was really bad. They thought that I was a cheater because I would use a lot of words to add on to things that weren't necessary.
I love categories, Roy. That's a good one.
I remember everybody that we were playing with almost got into a fight. Dan was there because when I wrote it was a W, so I used like water hose, water bottle, water this, water that, and everybody got angry at me because I used water over and over. Like these are different words. You can actually use that.
Man, that's cheating.
How's that cheating? That's not cheating.
The water family is cheating. No, it's cheating. It's cheating. I'd use too many adjectives, and then people would get mad at me and tell me none of my things counted. Like if it was B, it would always be big, whatever the other B word was.
I feel like Witty is the rules expert when you play a board game.
He'll
swoop in and take out the manual and be like, actually, you can't use hyphens in this game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he points out the addendum in the rule book.
Mm-hmm.
So many games we're playing incorrectly. It's ridiculous. You have to, in Article 7, Section B, Rule 3 of Monopoly, there's some gold to be found there about how we're doing this right.
Without rules, there's chaos.
Exactly right. Did you know the first time you pass go, you're not supposed to collect $200? Did you know that? It's in the rule book.
That's not true.
That's not true.
Look it can't up, be Bill. True.
Yep. And that, you know what that's called? That's called bullshit. Mm-hmm.
That's another game.
Yep.
Bullshit.
My favorite game.
Love that game.
That's Stugatz's game of life.
Stugatz and I playing bullshit would be a dangerous game. Trying to out bullshit each other.
The most dangerous of games.
Yes.
Who would win?
Me. I'm undefeated, Greg.
My money's on you, Stugatz.
How do you guys feel about Yahtzee?
I love Yahtzee.
Big Yahtzee.
Love it.
There's strategy in Yahtzee. There's strategy in Yahtzee that people don't appreciate.
Like?
Well, you need to know when you want to use a full house or if you want to use it as a chance or if you want to give up on a three of a kind or a two of a kind. Sometimes you get the three of a kind and you say, you know what? Let me go one more. See if I can get that four of a kind. I already have a three of a kind. Now I have to waste my chance. Only 15 here. Low number for chance.
You got you were wrong about the first time passing go.
What do you mean?
You get 200 every single time.
What's the confusion?
Except the first time. Yeah, I don't understand.
No.
What do you mean?
Every time.
Where are you getting this?
The internet. Okay. You collect $200 each time you
do
pass
go. Do me a favor.
Go
to a toy store after or a hobby store, wherever you want to go.
What?
Buy the game, okay? And then look in the little rule book they give you, okay?
Monopoly.com.
Thank you.
Literally.
Mm-hmm. That's where you got it, Roy?
That's where Chris got it.
Is it the official rule book, though?
Fake rule book.
What are games besides Uno that people have their own rules for? And depending on where you're playing, there's different rules.
I think it's just Uno.
So for me, with Trivial Pursuit, you're allowed to go to the orange, which is sports, five times to fill up your pie. That's you're allowed to do it.
That is not how that game works.
No, but that's my own rule. I made my own rule for it, Bill.
That's a good rule.
Thank
yeah.
you.
That's, yes. Yeah, that's bullshit.
Because we all go to orange or blue. That's yes. it. It was sports or geography for me. I didn't have a chance.
Or entertainment. Right. Or entertainment.
Exactly.
Right.
Are you good at geography?
I mean, after sports, it's all I got. I mean, think of the other choices in the original Trivial Pursuit, Bill. Go look at the categories and you tell
I'll
me.
Go to a Toys R Us.
And you tell me which color I'm going to. It's not arts and literature, okay? That was yellow, right?
Yeah. I think yeah. So. Or history might have been yellow.
Yeah, green was science, yeah. I think. Yeah.
I feel like Scrabble starts the most arguments.
Yeah.
Over what's a word and what isn't.
Only one entity can solve what is a word and what's not.
Entity.
And that, of course, is Merriam-Webster.
Jesus Christ.
Chris Whittingham is a fancy lad.
You know, Merriam-Webster is two dudes, and it's not someone named Merriam-Webster.
That's a shock.
What? Of course I knew that. I have their framed photos on my wall.
Play it again, Mike.
Chris Whittingham is a fancy lad.
Hey, it's Mike, and I know you were hoping for an update on those fishtail ponds in my backyard. Well, have I got news for you. I actually got lighting installed, and I can change it with an app. Beautiful fishtail ponds lit up red, depending on my mood. If I'm my hockey team wins, we light those suckers red. Anyways, I like being outside. I like looking at those fishtail ponds. You love hearing about it. But what's in my hand other than my app changing the lighting? A Miller Lite is in my hand. That's right, because I know when a Miller Lite is in my hand, I make a good time, Miller time. I take that first sip, I know immediately I made the right call. Nothing goes with my fishtail ponds quite like a Miller Lite. It makes everything so much better. And I'm going to have some people over. I'm going to toss them that beautiful white can. They're going to say, heck yeah. And they're going to have that first sip and know, just like me, that they made the right call. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
Greg, the Bucks GM, said had a discussion with Brady and said he'd be fine if he wants to play till 50.
Oh my God. The idea that Tom Brady would play until he's 50 is not that preposterous to me. I think if you're laying odds, I'm thinking it might be 12-1.
Something like that. I mean, I got to check to see how old he is. I think he's 44, and he's had one of his best seasons ever.
Oh,
he
yeah.
just won the Super Bowl. So, right. yeah, I mean, him playing till 50, it seems ludicrous, right? Like, Greg, think about how your body feels.
Right.
I'm 48. My body is falling apart. That man playing in the NFL, playing that position at the age of 50 seems impossible to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, but think of how you felt when he was 38. The idea of him playing until 45 seemed ridiculous, right?
Yes. Tom Brady is now, he's 43 years old.
Young guy.
6 years from now, Tom Brady's still going to be playing quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That is crazy. I guess he can pull it off, right?
The odds just went up to 15-1. I thought he was older. I thought he was like 45 already. So I don't see him playing 6-7 more years, do you?
Now that I'm thinking about it, it's not that ludicrous because he's 6 years away from that. He has said he wants to play till like he's 45, 46. He even floated 47. I think he just signed a 2-year extension to his current contract. So that has him locked up at Tampa Bay for 2 to 3 more seasons. Then after that, so he's at 47 right there. So it's 3 more years after that. Now, is he still playing at a high level? I have no idea, but I think he can actually pull it off because he wants to pull it off.
Yeah,
he wants to be the guy that says, hey, I played that position at the age of 50, which I guess would be pretty cool.
It would be, but is he the kind of guy with all he's accomplished, he would never go out as a backup, right?
No.
There's no way that Tom Brady's still playing when he's 50. He's like one bad fall away from breaking his hip right now. Come on.
Classic old joke.
Play with a walker.
Nailed it.
He should have retired after the Super Bowl, right? I mean, if they don't get back to the Super Bowl, everyone's going to say, like, that's what it should have ended right there.
And then he'll just win it 3 years from now.
Right. I mean, Chris, why quit when you're still winning them?
He's had so many perfect endings already as a 43-year-old. He'll be 44 to start the season, as we outlined. Already in his career, he's sort of said no to several perfect endings.
He's had, like, 5 perfect endings.
Yeah.
Like, not the first one, because you're not going to retire after your rookie season, but he's had 5 other opportunities to do this perfectly, and he has it because he's still winning Super Bowls. So why would you quit?
To Christopher's point, that would have been the perfect ending, though. You go to Tampa Bay, you give the middle finger to Belichick,
yeah.
You win a championship, You say, sayonara, the best quarterback of all time is going out on top.
But that middle finger is for life, right? Doesn't matter what he does from here on out. Like, that's for life. He won. Brady won. He won that fight. He won that argument. Who gets the credit? Tom Brady gets the credit.
Right. Oh, he did. Yes. He won the argument. But on the other hand, if keep in mind the 17-game schedule now, if the Bucs go 7-10 and he has sort of a so-so year and suddenly he looks like late Peyton Manning, then it doesn't enhance his legacy, that's for sure.
We interrupt this sports talk argument because Kenny Mayne has called in and says he's got an update of some sort. Oh. Kenny, welcome back to the show. I figured at this point you'd be walking the course already. What is the update?
I average like 93 miles per hour. They're sleeping on 84. Police, get out there, do your job, all right? I just wanted to apologize. I was so tired. I thought I could have done better. And I was hoping you'd make some edits and make us sound smarter, or at least me. Sounds like you guys are doing elite quarterback talk. Let me just jump right in on that. I got opinions. Top 10 elite quarterbacks, where we got going?
Go ahead. Top 10 elite quarterbacks.
All right, let's go ahead and do this. Kenny Mayne, a former quarterback. Wow. Randall Cunningham was beneath him on the depth chart at UNLV. Number 10, the 10th elite quarterback, according to Kenny Mayne, is?
Earl Morrill up in here. Okay, Earl Morrill. Start up.
Earl Morrill, Dolphins backup from 1972. Yeah. Number 9 elite quarterback, according to Kenny Mayne.
Jim Zorn.
Jimmy Zorn.
Number 8, according
to Zorn DeLarge.
I'm so glad you called back. I don't think this is why you called back, but okay, number 8.
Dave Craig.
Wait a minute. Are we just going to do Seattle quarterbacks now?
Craig was good.
Number
man.
7.
Randall Cunningham.
Number 6 elite quarterback, according to Kenny Mayne.
Warren Moon.
You are cursing up a storm with your newfound freedom. Number 5.
Joe Namath.
Willie Joe.
Overrated. Number 4.
Aaron Rodgers.
Number 3.
Dan Marino.
Number 2.
Y.A. Tittle up in this biznitch.
I'm glad I asked.
Very important.
And finally, Kenny Mayne's number 1 elite quarterback is?
Joe Montana.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Joe Cool.
So why were you calling us back, though? It couldn't have been to do elite quarterback talk, and I'm surprised Tom Brady didn't make your list.
You know what? If he stays in the game, works harder, he'll get a look. I was making fun of your hardcore football talk. I'm sure it was good. I'm sure it had a purpose.
No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't. It was terrible.
You know, it was like, are they going to just argue about elite quarterbacks for 2 hours? Is that the show?
It's the show I want
to
do.
It's the show Stugatz wants to do. It's the show Stugatz would do if left to his own devices. Just talk about quarterbacks for the rest of time.
I wasn't even trying to get on the air. I was calling to tell the guy sorry, man. I'm seriously just coming out of working till 3 a.m. I almost watched Narcos till 4, wrenching one that the TV's not to be on. And I had a long, restless night, I should say.
Didn't you have a tea time, 10 minutes from the last time we spoke to you?
14 minutes. I think I'm a mile away. God save the queen. Thank you for the update.
Okay, thank you for stopping by again. God save the queen. I don't know why he was calling back, but I'm appreciative. I'm very happy that he did.
You were saying about Brady?
Would you bet that Belichick has reached out to Tom Brady in any fashion?
No.
A text?
No.
An email?
No.
No communications?
Nothing.
Since he won the Super Bowl.
Nothing. Greg, do you think Belichick has congratulated Tom Brady yet on winning the Super Bowl? There is no chance Belichick has done that yet.
I would doubt it.
Right.
I'm surprised that nobody's written that, though. That hasn't really been a story, right?
Why don't you get on it?
I will.
I just Googled it. It says that the Patriots congratulated him, but I don't see anything about Belichick personally congratulating him.
Do you think Tom Brady was expecting to be congratulated by Bill Belichick? Like a personal, like a call, a text, something like that?
Hell no. I could see Tom Brady thinking he was important enough to get that, but I don't see Belichick doing it. He's all business.
Tom Brady reached out to Urban Meyer and said, Urban, I want to play tight end. Do you think he'd cut Tebow?
No. What if a real tight end called up and said, I want to
play? Well, that's not an option here.
Really?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Greg, it's been fascinating over the last couple of years to see how it is that we behave with this sliding scale of morality on the cheaters in sports. And now Bob Baffert, who I associate only with wonderful hair, I basically think of this name cartoonishly associated with that sport. And I think that facially, he just sort of represents that sport, winning in that sport. But he's got more than 30 failed drug tests for his horses and 4 decades in the sport.
That silver hair, it's the best head of hair since Bobby Kremenz.
It is excellent hair, and I associate him with this sport, but he is a cheater. And his tour of excuse making has now ended because he blamed cancel culture in a way that was SNL spoof worthy because it was so ridiculous. And he also blamed, and I don't know which is the worse explanation, some guy in a barn having taken cough syrup and peeing on the hay that Medina Spirit ate. He blamed that, but now he's finally come clean and said, I never mind about all those lies. It actually is that the horse was using an ointment that was banned for several weeks.
He expected people to believe that.
I mean, he thought that one up, and I'm like, wow, fairly clever, given all the ridiculous excuses that there are in that sport. But now he has copped to it. He has finally said, you know, he's released a statement. Medina Spirit developed dermatitis on his hind end. I had him checked out by my veterinarian, who recommended the use of an antifungal ointment called Automax. The veterinary recommendation was to apply this ointment daily to give the horse relief, help heal the dermatitis, and prevent it from spreading. My barn followed this recommendation, and Medina Spirit was treated with Automax once a day until the day before the Kentucky Derby. Yesterday, I was informed that one of the substances in Automax is betamethasone. While we do not know definitively that this was the source of the alleged 21 picograms found in Medina Spirit's post-raid blood sample, our investigation is continuing. I've been told by equine pharmacology experts that this could explain the test results. As such, I wanted to be forthright about this fact as soon as I learned of this information.
Sounds like horse shit.
It does. And the idea that he would blame cancel culture and not take any responsibility until just now, the truth is always better late than never. But you wonder about his reputation and whether it's taken a hit, because he's been the most successful horse trainer, and yet is he going to wind up like a Lance Armstrong, where retroactively we wonder about all of his accomplishments?
As a horse trainer with millions of dollars on the line, if he's going to use that excuse, one would come back with, should you know every single ingredient in that horse training substance that they use on that horse?
You can't have his resume on cheating, even understanding that competitionaholics are going to go looking for every edge in every margin that they can find. With this kind of money around the sport, you're going to get into the gray areas, you're going to get into the pharmacy, you're going to try and get your advantages wherever it is that you can get your advantages. There's too much of this on his resume, Greg. Like, you can't have, he's basically had a horse a year in his 4-decade career.
He's the biggest star in your sport. I mean, he is.
And when you come out, you say the truth is better late than never on this, but I believe that the truth coming out now from him, or this version of the truth, I believe he's made a fool of himself too much before this for anything that comes out of his mouth to be believable.
Yeah, he has. And for me, his reputation is sullied beyond repair right now. I don't know that you can look at Bob Baffert the same way after this, because that's an accumulation of stuff. It's been one after the other for decades now. And if you're Bob Baffert, if you're a horse trainer, you are responsible for whatever is put into that horse's body. It's not the veterinarian. Don't blame it on anybody else. Take responsibility for everything that horse undergoes.
Do we care because it's not like this was a race. And I understand that the three majors in that sport are still something that a lot of people care about. But there is no way we would be talking about this if not for the fact that the most recognizable training name in that sport is guilty again of something that looks super suspicious.
At that race, it's the trainer, that name combined with the Kentucky Derby.
It was his fifth positive in the last 12 months? Yeah. Has me wondering about his entire career as a trainer.
It does. I mean, he's in the notorious category now with the Lance Armstrongs, the Barry Bondses, everybody you consider for cheating, he's now in that paragraph.
You have someone being caught serially now as a cheater, and his name is associated with greatness. He's the only horse trainer any of us can name. He's dominated the sport, and we know nothing about horse racing, so we just look at him. Well, that guy must be really good. How is he really good? Well,
the cheating hasn't actually stuck to him, though. Like, what difference does it make to be caught 30 times in 40 years if this is the time that we're talking about? He's already made all the money.
It never stuck to him, but now it is, because now he's being banned at Churchill Downs. Yeah. He's being banned at the Preakness. He's being banned at the tracks you want to be at.
But he made all his money. How old is this guy? Right. He's damn near 70 years old, right, is he not? Like, he has made all his money, and if the cost of that is his good name, he has still been somebody who's been profoundly successful, and there's no taking away what it is he's already done. Even if retroactively they say he loses everything from the past, he still ends up making all of the money that he made before in what is one of our richest sports in terms of how it rewards the winners.
He's 68 years old.
But he's shamed now in a way that he hasn't been before. The idea that his horse is going to run at Preakness, in the Preakness Stakes, but he's banned from going to Pimlico, that's an embarrassment.
I'm not so much wondering what happens now with Bob Baffert. That is a hard name to say. I'm kind of curious what happens to horse racing as a whole. I know that people still like to watch it and gamble on it, and that's fine. But between this and all of the other controversies happening in horse racing with horses dying at races across the country, I'm wondering where we go from here, if horse racing kind of just dies out now, or if we think that Bob Baffert matters enough that could happen.
Guillermo, put on the poll, is Bob Baffert a hard name to say?
It's really not. I mean, sorry, Stugatz.
Bab Baffert is what I said.
Stugatz over here.
Yeah.
And Stugatz has said that horse racing is dead the Triple Crown winner. Stugatz, that's one of Stugatz's great lanes, is to proclaim sports are dead. He's done it with soccer over 20 years.
But this time I was right. I'm not certain I'm right about soccer. I feel like I'm right. But time will tell. We've been waiting forever. But this one I am right on.
It is a sport from another time. There's no getting around that. My guess is that in 2021, he says cancel culture ridiculously, but I do think that the treatment of those animals in that sport is something that people should be bothered by more than the cheating. The fact that we keep killing those horses all over the place because we're not treating them correctly ought to be something that, if people cared about that sport, was getting more attention, because we continually kill these animals in our pursuit of glory here. Right.
Yeah. Weren't there 30 or 35 horses that died at a single track in California in a 12-month period? I mean, it's an epidemic.
But imagine if someone was killing our football players.
They do it more slowly. It's more disguised than that over time. We will look back 100 years from now, and it will be a much slower experience. But, yes, at this point, I associate Santa Anita with they kill horses there. Yeah. That's the word association I do with in my head.
It's the only stories that come out of that track, right?
All I know about horse racing is things that I've seen in movies and that Dustin Hoffman HBO show that I think killed a lot of horses at Santa Anita. And it's kind of like baseball was in the 90s, and that cheating is a part of the game, and you try to find the advantages in what's considered okay cheating. Just don't have a syringe hanging off a horse's ass.
At the risk of being just a little too woke and a little too PETA, I am made uncomfortable by the idea of whipping an animal to make it run faster. Does that make me a jerk? Does that make me soft? For my entertainment, the idea of whipping an animal. Now, Ron McGill would...
Or using an animal in athletics. That whole concept is weird.
Now we're really tearing down the whole sport.
Oh, yeah. Well, cancel culture's coming for you now, Bob. You did this to yourself. But don't cancel before I get to go to the Derby next year.
You do wonder about the future of horse racing, though. I mean, they did away with dog racing. What's the difference?
Well, many people, I know horses are domesticated to a sense, but dogs are pets. That one kind of felt coming for a while.
It did, but greyhounds were trained to race. I mean, they were athletic animals in the same category as horses.
What is the difference between a horse and a dog, though? I don't think that there's any, like, oh, this is too woke of a take or a too PETA, you know, whatever. Like, I think that we have come a long way in the last 100 years between seeing horses as things that transport us to one place to another, to not really needing them for that. Why can't we just let the horses live on a pasture and be happy and eat grass and carrots and live happy lives? Like, why do we have to make a sport out of it? I don't know. I don't see the difference. They're really smart animals. Why do we have to do this to them?
I would argue that if you don't object to the whipping of horses to make them run faster for our entertainment, you might want to object to the fact that they are being killed at a rate that is alarming. But my guess is that the people who hunt, or the people who will go to a fenced big game place to kill an elephant just because they can and they're super rich, my guess is that they don't have much time for what it is that's being said right now. My guess is that many hunters are listening to what this is and being like, oh my God, how soft are you guys? Why can't I use the animals for my entertainment? We're above them on the food chain.
In 2021, when something is described as the sport of kings, as if we should borrow from medieval times for present day entertainment, is pretty telling, right?
But we're ignorant here, right? We don't care. Between all of us here, these are not people who care at all about horse racing, about the tradition, about the pageantry, about whatever it is that the Kentucky Derby represents to them. So this is the opinion of people who do not care about this sport and therefore don't think that animals should be whipped and killed to make them run faster for our entertainment. But there are many people. This is the sport of kings is because it's a rich person's sport. Mm-hmm. Like, this is one of the last places where a whole lot of money. Hell, man, Jim Rome is in this business.
Yeah.
Jim Rome decided.
Doing well.
A whole lot of rich people get into this business because they want to compete against other rich people with animals. Like, that's where, I don't know what the origins of the phrase sport of kings comes from, but that's what it conjures for me. This is where wealth competes. That equestrian, you know, polo, all that stuff, is where wealth competes.
Well, you guys have kind of seen the sea change, because South Florida is certainly a hotbed for horse racing. And correct me if I'm wrong, but covering the ponies was a bit of your beat early in the early 90s. And Greg, you probably did that. It's ingrained in our sporting culture here.
Yeah, no, I've covered several Florida derbies every year. But when you talk about the sport of kings, it's not coincidental that horse racing is huge in Saudi Arabia, where they practically gild the horses in gold. And the argument can be made, and Bob Baffert would make the argument, that competitive horses are some of the most cared for, well-treated, well-nourished animals on earth. And Iditarod, to me, the annual Alaskan dog race, to me, that's cruelty to animals, but to people who do the Iditarod, those are well-treated animals, and I've even heard Ron McGill say that they are. So it's a bizarre controversy.
Isn't it a case where Ron McGill would make an argument, and this is anthropomorphic, but wouldn't he make an argument that the horse enjoys being ridden? I don't know how it is that you can make the argument that these animals are very well taken care of when they've got drug problems, they're whipped, and they die. That does not sound to me like well taken care of, even as they're manicured and they're fed well.
But if the horses didn't enjoy it, do you think it would go on this long if they didn't enjoy it?
I don't think
if they weren't treated well or treated properly.
I don't think that the enjoyment of the horses comes into the thinking process when you're drugging them, whipping them, and killing them.
Stu Gotz, do you think the horses would just start talking and be like, hey, by the way, we're not really into this?
No, but I think someone like Ron McGill would step in and say, no, this is not right. We shouldn't be doing this. That's what I think.
I think there probably are a lot of animal rights activists who despise horse racing, dog racing, and any type of animal for the entertainment of people where you're involving drugs and heat exhaustion and all these things. We just don't really listen to them because it makes a lot of money for the TV networks and for, you know, people that gamble and the people that own the horses.
Do you think we sound super foolish to just the regular listening audience, because admittedly, even though you've covered it, Greg and Dan, some, like, we don't know really what we're talking about here, or is everyone just viewing it as from the same horse racing agnostic level? Because I kind of feel like we're showing our ass on this one.
We are ignorant here, and I do believe that we sound soft. Anybody who loves horse racing is listening to this and saying, these people don't know what they're talking about. But this is what horse racing has invited when you have at the top of the sport a name we do know, and he's a cheater, and he's embarrassing himself with not just the cheating, but the way that he's explaining the cheating, blaming it on cancel culture, yeah, right, and some guy in a barn pissing cough syrup. I got some hay.
I was perfectly fine letting this just be a part of horse culture. But when you invoke cancel culture and people...
He welcomed us.
Yeah.
He was reaching, Mike.
You brought this hell upon yourself,
that's right,
Bob.
Baffert. It wasn't here before, but now we've arrived. Like, we weren't even thinking about canceling you before, but now you've said that we're to blame for some guy pissing on hay instead of your cheating, and you've blamed us for your horse failing a drug test, and you know what we're going to do? We're going to take the sport from you. Yeah. We're going to tell you to stop whipping the horses, and oh my God, they're dying. And Baffert, I don't want to get carried away here, but I'm feeling like you deserve a metaphorical whipping here that gets you right out of the sport.
No, I think it's fair, Dan. Good luck, Bob Baffert, racing at Hialeah in Dan Lebatard's town ever again after your woke bullshit.
The punishment should be we all get to ride Baffert around while whipping him, drugging him, and at the end, hopefully not killing him, but you know, it depends on where you are.
If you're in
Santa Anita, it might happen.
Don't worry, Bob. We'll let you orgasm a couple of times before you're dead.
We'll say that we treated you very well.
We'll just store it in a freezer.
We will take your sperm and we will make rich men kings with your sperm. What?
That's one of the worst jobs in sports, by the way.
Oh my God.
Is to bring the big plastic barrel and put it over a horse's dong. What do you think is going through that person's mind when at the height of climax is just like, well, life certainly took a turn.
Yeah. My parents cannot be proud of the path that I took.
I bet you that person makes like $500,000 a year, too.
My life stinks.
Did you just say, I do it, Chris?
For $500K a year?
Oh, I do it.
I'll clean all your shit for $500K a year, too.
Isn't that part of your job?
I want an interview series on a podcast that just interviews those people after the first time they do that, though. Because it's got to be shocking.
Dan, for $500,000 a year, if you didn't have any other options, you wouldn't be doing that? I mean...
Jacking off horses?
Hey, it's Mike, and I know you were hoping for an update on those fishtail ponds in my backyard. Well, have I got news for you. I actually got lighting installed, and I can change it with an app. Beautiful fishtail ponds lit up red, depending on my mood. If my hockey team wins, we light those suckers red. Anyways, I like being outside. I like looking at those fishtail ponds. You love hearing about it. But what's in my hand other than my app changing the lighting? A Miller Lite is in my hand. That's right, because I know when a Miller Lite is in my hand, I make a good time, Miller time. I take that first sip, I know immediately I made the right call. Nothing goes with my fishtail ponds quite like a Miller Lite. It makes everything so much better. And I'm going to have some people over. I'm going to toss them that beautiful white can. They're going to say, heck yeah. And they're going to have that first sip and know, just like me, that they made the right call. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.